Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
Blood Puddle.
Fur Circus. Steven Ricker's Testicles.
T-Butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filipula.
Filipuli.
Filipalapala.
Wow, 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
That was totally wicked!
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Oh, now, and here we go. The second segment of the Amusement Park Live on 96.9 FM Wired Radio. He is Michael Shackley, the senior writer, the webmaster for theicemanmaniacs.com. How are you doing today, Michael?
I want to start off with a little story.
Oh, that's right. Right off the bat.
Yes.
Shockers, hockey, jersey of the week.
Right. So last week, in your honor, because of your favorite player, I
yes,
wore
Jerome
a Jerome Iginla Calgary Flames jersey.
Thunder Horse.
So this week, can you tell the folks what jersey I'm wearing this
you
week?
You are wearing one of my favorites, the yellow, the new yellow Nashville
Not the mustard.
Predators. Yep.
This may look to you as if it is a yellow Nashville Predators jersey.
Yes.
But I was corrected today. We were at the mall for lunch, and there was a kid, probably a high school kid, maybe a college kid, but young and clearly hockey naive. He sees my jersey, and he looks at me right in the eyes and goes, "Are you a Tennessee Sabres fan?"
Tennessee Sabres.
Yes.
Heck yeah.
It took me a second. I was like, "The who?" And I looked down at my jersey, and I was like, "Okay. Yeah, sure. I
Sabres,
just went with it." I was
Sabres
like,
is short for Sabretooth.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, for those of you who always thought it was the Nashville Predators, you were just wrong.
Nope.
Apparently, we're all mistaken. It's the Tennessee Sabres.
I like it.
Yeah.
Tennessee Sabres.
So, there you go.
There you go. Pipe that up on the WW.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody, Rick Llewellyn's going to go out and register TennesseeSabres.com and say that the Icemen are moving to Nashville
there
or Clarksville or something.
Clarksville. That would be sweet. We could play that monkey song at every game. Take the last train to Clarksville. All right, well, let's get right into our 27-minute segment, Injury and Transaction Report.
Yeah, last week we had zero Iceman transactions to recap and no changes on the injury front. And
that's because it was the All-Star break.
No.
Oh, no,
this
wait.
Is the All-Star
that's
break.
Right.
Nice try. This week it's a very different story. We got three call-ups, three injuries, two returns, and three new players in 1 week. It's been a busy week for those who do the paperwork for the Iceman.
Coach Sims starting to put his stamp on the club.
Yeah, just a bit. Last Wednesday, Randy Keir was injured in the Iceman game at Cincinnati. Some sort of face injury, according to the fans. The Iceman have not said what it is, though. He did not play on Friday, Saturday, or Monday, and Brian Patafi said that he was to have an MRI on Monday. No word yet on his status going forward.
Ooh, sounds like we might have a mad speculation
perhaps
in segment two.
Thursday, yeah, Thursday the 15th. Guy Lapine loaned slash called up.
Guy Lapine.
Guillaume Lapine, as Sim says, to the Binghamton Senators. Played all three games for them over the weekend, had a pair of fights, and was plus one, so good for him. Remains to be seen how long he'll be up there, but they have been hit hard by injuries lately, so it could be a little while. Speaking of them calling guys up, on Friday, the BSNs recalled Danny Hobbs. That is not to play. Patafi said that he had a setback with his knee injury, and they're calling him up to have a different look at treatment
specialist
up there. Yes. So he will not be in their lineup anytime soon. They also regained Yakub Sulek. Ottawa reassigned him from the Iceman to Binghamton because they've got four guys injured right now. So they need reinforcements. Also on Friday, the Iceman signed rookie defenseman Bo Driscoll, whose given name is Robert, but he goes by Bo. Played 4 years of Division III college hockey in his home state of Massachusetts. This year, as a rookie, he started out in the Federal Hockey League, played 9 games there, worked his way up to the SPHL, where he played 16 games, and then got the call for the Iceman. So talk about working your way up the ladder from the very bottom rung.
When I first moved here from Detroit back in 1998, I got a job landscaping, mm-hmm. and I worked with a guy named Bubba. That was his birth name, was Bubba.
His actual birth his name
actual
was Bubba?
His birth name was Bubba.
Nice.
And I thought, what the Sam Hill have I got myself into?
Bo debuted, made his Iceman debut on Friday at Fort Wayne. He is a little dude. He is generously listed at 5'9 and 175.
I prefer little people.
But he is wearing Zach Sternberg's old jersey, number 4. Yeah, Sternberg was not a particularly large man himself. He was only 6 foot and 190. And his jersey on Bo Driscoll looks like a dress. It looks like when, like, a peewee lets his little brother, who's a mite, wear his jersey. And it's, you know, halfway down to his knees. You could barely see his hockey pants. It was kind of funny, but...
And you can't tuck him in anymore. It's against the rules.
That's true, yeah. You still see guys do it every now and then, but yeah, you're not supposed to. So with all of the recalls and whatnot, the Iceman started the Friday game at Fort Wayne down 2 skaters and finished it down 3 because Jim McKenzie left with a pulled hammy. He did not play on Saturday or Monday either. So, another
Aaron Rodgers injury.
Yeah, not that
pulled
bad.
Aaron Rodgers.
Not that bad. Elsewhere on Friday, the Cincinnati Cyclones signed Brandon Kamm. That's a trickle-up effect because of Pekka Rinne. He's out 3 to 5 weeks for the Predators due to a knee injury. So they called up Merrick Mazanek from Milwaukee, then recalled Rob Madore, another former Iceman. Yep. So they lost a former Iceman goalie and decided to sign another one. So Brandon Kamm will probably be with the Cyclones until Pekka Rinne returns in Nashville. So I'm sure he'll get a few starts somewhere along the way because they're going to be playing a lot of games. Then back to the Iceman on Saturday. Patrick Kennedy returned after missing 9 games with a broken knuckle.
Yay.
Good to have him back. And the Iceman added a pair of rookie forwards, Jordan Sims, who...
As predicted on here.
Yes. Al Sims' son, so we'll call him Junior. Born in Fort Wayne, played 4 years of Division I hockey at UConn, where he had 101 points in 146 games. And this year so far, he's mainly been in the SPHL with the Peoria Rivermen, where he had 13 points in 23 games. Also signed Mark Anthoyne, who played 4 years in the USHL of junior hockey and 4 years at the University of Maine, which is D1. They are a D1 powerhouse, too.
Yep.
He played 4 games with us at the end of last season after he finished his college career. He was in training camp with the Iceman this season but did not make the cut. So once he did not make the cut, he found a job in the SPHL. He's bounced around to a couple different teams there, had 8 points in 20 games before the Iceman gave him the call. Both Jordan Sims and Mark Anthoyne debutted on Saturday and also played on Monday. Sims is wearing number 9. I was impressed by what he brought. I brought really good energy, and I'll even put him out there on the penalty kill a few times. And Anthoyne is wearing number 34, and he scored our first goal on
really
Saturday.
Really excited for that. He's a great kid, great player, hard worker. Former coach Jeff Pyle, I know he really liked him a lot, and I'm glad he's stayed with it and worked hard and went to the SP, and now he's back, and hopefully he'll stick around for a long time.
Yeah, Saturday was our first chance to see him at home because last year he came in at the end of the season when we were on the road.
Yep.
So you got to see him.
I did.
But the rest of us did not, except those who watched on ECHL TV. Then on Monday, the Icemen played the Cyclones with only 5 defensemen as Daniel Johnston did not play for reasons that remain a mystery, but we'll get to that later.
Oh, hint, tease, hint, tease. Hint.
Yes. Also, with Guillotine still gone, Patrick Kennedy wore the C on Monday.
Love it.
That was apparently not the original plan. Jim McKenzie had worn the third A on Friday, but then he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then on
Did they run out of A's then? So yeah, he just had to put a C on somebody?
Then on Saturday, the Iceman went with just two A's. No third A or a C. Lowry and Lucan were the two A's, as they have been all season. And then, they added the C to Kennedy's jersey for Monday's game. And it looked like it was some sort of temporary. It was, like, much thinner than all the other letters. It looked like they'd written it on in a Sharpie or something. So,
oh, boy.
Who knows how long that will last. Maybe he'll get called up before Lapine gets sent back down. So, who knows what will happen. But for now, Patrick Kennedy is your acting captain. Good choice, too, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. He brings energy, and he's one of the best, and he's AHL caliber, and
right,
solid guy around the room as well. So,
yep, yeah, I think that's one of those deals where you wouldn't necessarily think it's a good idea to put the C on a guy who may not be here all that long, but in his case, it's probably a temporary thing until Lapine comes back anyway. So, I have no problem with it.
Well, at this point, there's a lot of other concerns.
Yeah,
who's wearing a C at
exactly.
this point?
Yes. And then on Tuesday, Miles Bell returned to the Iceman by the AHL's Albany Devils. He will participate in the ECHL All-Star Game and then should rejoin the team for next weekend's games. Awesome to have him back
yep,
as well.
Definitely.
And then one final thing, an update on Andre Bouvet-Morissette. Brian Patafi said on one of the pregame shows over the weekend that his conky recovery is not going particularly well. They have now told Andre to avoid home games altogether. They don't want him taking in the bright lights or loud noises of a home game. So when they're basically telling you to stay home in a quiet, dark room, that's generally not a good sign in your concussion recovery process. So,
well, and that's kind of scary for him, too.
Yeah.
Poor speculation here on my part, but boy, he has just battled the injury bug his entire career, and then when you get a situation like this, now you got to really start think about your future and what you're going to do with your life.
Yeah, you don't mess around with conkies.
Yeah, and it isn't even this one. It's like, what about the next one?
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially the type of game that he plays.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to turn into a Russian forward that just floats around in the neutral zone. I mean, he's hard as nails kind of player.
Exactly.
So, good golly. So we did all that, and now we're doing so since our last show.
Are you going to plug at the
end?
Oh,
crikey.
Come on,
it's like
man.
My first time.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Am I popping your radio cherry?
Anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, poor Andy Fuller. You can go to IcemanManiacs.com. Go to the Maniac message board, and that is the place to find all the latest Iceman transactions, injuries, and roster news. And if the the last week is a sign of future comings and goings,
yeah,
it's probably going to be pretty busy.
Yeah.
So don't worry about going to the Courier Press. Don't worry about going to the Iceman website. Just head right to IcemanManiacs.com in the Maniac message board. So anyways, as I was saying before,
yeah,
I was so rudely interrupted, mm-hmm, since our last show.
So the Iceman played four games in the past week, and we said last week on the show we both wanted them to get 6 of the 8 possible points.
Definitely
so.
Coming close to the midway point of the season, and also who the competition was.
Right.
Fort Wayne and Cincinnati, two teams, upper tier teams that we're chasing in the standings.
Yep. So we wanted 6 and we got 1.
Yeah, that's not good at all.
Not so good, no. When we wanted 10, we got 3. When we want 6, we get 1. Maybe we should lower our expectations just a smidge.
There you go.
The Iceman went 0-3-1 in the past week. Last Wednesday, a 4-0 loss at Cincinnati. Outshot 36-18 in that game. Scott Grenham made 32 saves in the loss, and it was our fourth shutout loss of the season. So moving on. Friday, a 4-2 loss at Fort Wayne. Again, outshot by a wide margin, 41-21. Grenham was in net again, made 37 saves in the loss. At least we did score a couple goals. Colin Murray and Zach Curry. Murray and Curry scored the Iceman goals.
I like that Colin Murray.
I do, too.
But notice here, and I kind of made a joke of it last week when we won those games against, was it Wichita last weekend?
Or was one it against Missouri, yeah, one against Wichita.
And who is on the score sheet? Jakub Sulik. I've been saying his name all preseason long, and now he's
several different pronunciations of it, too.
There you go. And now he's gone, and now we're struggling. So
yeah,
it's just it doesn't matter sometimes who the coach is, because you got to have talent at this level. So he is pure goal scoring offensive talent.
Yep. I do like Murray, though. I like him a lot. Good Big energy, body. Play. He hits. He's willing to fight. I've been very impressed with him. So with the victory, the Comets retained the Hoosier Hockey Championship belt. The next four in-state games are all between the Fuel and Icemen, so those will all be non-title. And Fort Wayne's next title defense is February 8th against the Icemen. So maybe Al Sims can right the ship by then, and we can put up a fight for the title that night.
If Jakob Sulik's back.
We shall see. Saturday, the 17th, a 4-3 loss at home to Cincinnati. Chris Dreger made the start in net and made 27 saves in the loss. The Icemen got goals from Mark Anthoin, as mentioned, Colin Murray again, and Brandon Martell. It was Star Wars night, and the attendance was a sellout crowd of 9,391, and thankfully they were witnessed to a better game than the last time we had a big crowd.
New Year's Eve.
Right.
Debacle.
I thought the Icemen played pretty well on Saturday, but as has been the case often this season, breakdowns here and there killed us. The Cincinnati first goal was a 3-on-3 where no one bothered to pick up the trailing guy. And then their third and fourth goals were both bad rebounds where, A, Dreger did not control the rebound well, and, B, nobody bothered to pick up the guy who was going after the rebound. Which we've seen a lot this year. Which brings us to Monday on Martin Luther King Day. The Icemen lost 4-3 in overtime to Cincinnati, trailed 2-0 in the game, then scored three unanswered goals to take a lead, but the Cyclones got the game-tying goal with 2:43 left in regulation and the game-winning goal 2:19 into the extra session. It was kind of an odd game. The Icemen outshot them 19-10 in the first two periods, but got outshot 26-11 in the third and overtime. Granham was in net, made 32 saves. Icemen got goals from Patrick Kennedy, Jarrett Lucan, and Zach Curry. Again, I thought they played pretty well, but the breakdowns just killed us. Cincinnati's first goal was on a rebound, again, on a power play. Their second goal was where we decided not to play the next shift, and they scored 24 seconds after their first goal. Their third goal was a wide open, a guy just left, he had ages to shoot in the slot, and Grenham made the save on the initial shot, but no one even came down to clear the rebound, and the guy scored on the rebound. And then the fourth goal in overtime was a 3-on-3 rush, and nobody picked up the rebound, and Grenham stopped the initial shot, stopped the first rebound, and they scored on the second rebound. So it's just these defensive things. These are the things that Sims has said he wants to tighten up, and it's going to take practice and maybe some personnel changes to tighten things up. But clearly, we're not there yet.
Yeah, well, you know, and I've heard rumors of Dwight Mullins and his very complex defensive zone coverage, but I don't care how complex your defensive zone system is, it still breaks down to one man has to be covering one offensive player.
Right.
And we'll see, but we're on, you know, Josh Beaulieu coached a couple of games, and now we're on Al Sims, and I'm not sure coaching is the answer anymore.
It's personnel, perchance. So one thing worth noting.
Well, and a big thing, too, is the fact that you don't have Guy Lepine. So
you
come in and take over this club, and what happens almost immediately is your captain and best defensive player is gone.
Yeah.
So
that doesn't help matters.
Yeah, it shifts everyone up. We saw that last year and years past, too. You shift everyone up into positions and ice time that they're not prepared for. And
right.
These are the kind of results you get.
Well, and also you look at, you know, the injuries are starting to hit, and now, yes, there were a lot of transactions in this last week, but a lot of them were reactionary because things out of our control happened. And Sims has only had a practice or two with this team, and I think once he starts making the roster moves he wants to make, not just in reaction to things that are out of his control, and has some time to practice with the guys, we may see some changes. But until then, it's going to be a struggle.
Well, and how many roster moves can he really make?
Right. Who's Unless available?
He might be able to swing some free agent that's over in Europe and talk him back into coming to America, but something shy of that.
Right.
What are you going to trade?
Yeah. Well, and it's going to be hard to lure guys back over. Because if they're going to come back over, they're going to look at the standings and go, why would I want to go there?
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough. One thing about Monday's game, in the second period in that game, Kevin Harvey tried to fight Cincinnati's Jeff Irwin, but the linesman stopped them before they got started. And three different people came up to me to ask why.
They said, hey, you in that Tennessee Sabres jersey, exactly. Why did they stop the fight?
Yeah. So as they were circling before the fight, Harvey removed his helmet, which, as we know, is now an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty because of safety concerns. Well, the problem was Harvey was the only one who removed his helmet. Irwin did not. And that gives a decided safety advantage to Irwin, and because of that, the linesman prevented the fight. That is a point of emphasis this year. They don't want guys removing their helmets at all, but especially if only one guy removes it, then obviously that tilts the balance in the favor of the player who still has his helmet on. So that's really something that all of the pro leagues are trying to crack down on. The minor penalty is the first step in it, but trying to stop fights before they happen when guys have got their craniums ready to be beaten to a pulp is another. We saw on the same topic on Saturday, Harvey fought Cincinnati's Janen Risling, and both guys removed their helmets before that fight, and they were allowed to fight. They were still given the minor penalties for unsportsmanlike for removing their helmets. But even in that situation, even when both guys take their helmets off, what we've seen so far, at least in the NHL level, we haven't seen it a whole lot in the ECHL just because we haven't seen a lot of these types of fights, but it seems like if you both take your helmets off, you better start dropping bombs right away, because if you take them both off and still circle around for a minute, the lineys are going to jump in because they really do not want.
Well, even with the helmets on, they really are breaking or trying to settle down the fighting. They don't want to take fighting out, but they don't want the world wrestling showboat. Yeah. Let's go out to center ice stuff. And even guys with helmets on, you drop the gloves, you got to start throwing.
Because exactly.
The linesman, you hesitate and start like making it a show and about you, it's over with. The
right.
Linesmen are going to shut it down and everyone's going to boo, but the leagues don't want the showmanship
right.
anymore. You got to fight, then go out there and fight, but
right.
don't make it about you.
Right, and that's the thing. They're wanting to, they've said all along, you know, we don't want to remove the organic fighting that's situational, but if you got two guys that are just wanting to go out to center ice and dance around for 5 minutes before anybody throws a punch, yeah, they're going to get rid of that. So, like you said, it was not popular. The fans booed, but within the rules and with the points of emphasis targeting safety, I wasn't surprised that they handled it that way, and we're going to continue to see them do it that way. So, anyway, at the All-Star break, the Icemen are now 11-22-5, 9 points out of the fourth and final playoff spot in the division. Meanwhile, the Indy Fuel are 4-0-1 in their last five and have caught us, so we are now tied for last place in the division.
With an expansion team.
Yes, correct. On the stat sheet, Brandon Wong leads the Icemen in both goals with 13 and points with 30, and Kale Kerbashian is second with 28 points but is a team worst minus 17, and though plus minus can kind of fake you out sometimes...
Yeah.
In that case, I don't think it does, because Kale has really struggled on the defensive end this year. We've seen him turn the puck over a lot. We've seen him miss his assignments in the defensive end. And with Al Sims coming in and saying he's not going to tolerate guys who don't play 200-foot games, it wouldn't shock me if we see Kale moved at some point soon. Because someone in the league, probably in a playoff spot, is going to look at his offensive talent and say, yeah, we'd like to add that piece before the playoffs. And if he's not going to be playing responsible defensively, then Sims will probably be willing to part ways with him.
Brandon Wong is interesting. You prorate out that 13 goals. That could be 26 on the season, which would make him the most goals in a season. Evansville
yep.
Iceman held by Matt Shepke and Dylan Clark.
He's got a shot.
So there you go. Shockers, hockey, rock song of the week.
Talk about another tease. For reasons I will explain later... this was an intermission song I played often at Swander from 1977. It's Margaritaville by Jimmy Buffett.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake, all of those tourists covered with oil. Drumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell of shrimp there beginning.
nothing to show but this brand new tattoo. But it's a real beauty, a Mexican cutie. How it got here, I haven't a clue. Wasting away again in Margaritaville, searching for my lost shaker of salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame. Now I think, hell, it could be my fault. Stepped on a pop top, cut my heel, had to cruise on back home. But there's booze in the blender, and soon it will render that frozen concoction that helps me hang on. Wasting away.
Think has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, You Think has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our You Think family of supporters.
Now Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And we are back. Shocker. Dirty D, Wired, 96.9 FM, Jackhammer, Airplane, Train Whistle. Well, we bring back an old segment for the first time this year in 2015. It is your Maniac Asylum Lunatic of the Week.
Really?
Really. Yes, indeed. And we have to say, just like a good horse race down in Ellis Park, it was a full field with numerous people vying for Lunatic of the Week with the phrase, Guy Lapine is playing horrible. I'm glad he's moved to the AHL. Lunatics, you are all lunatics. It may happen in government, but in the real world of hockey, you don't get promoted because you play bad. Teams just don't do that. They don't say, hey, don't give us your best player. Who's your sixth, seventh D-man that is struggling handling the puck and really doesn't do anything? We'd like to put him on our club,
yeah,
up here in the AHL, one step away from the NHL. It doesn't work that way. So, but someone in all of those horses talking about Guy Lapine and how horrible he's playing, but one man broke away from the pack, strides ahead of all of the other horses, and wins the Lunatic of the Week. Congratulations, Michael Shockley. Michael Shockley, Lunatic of the Week, for his post in the asylum, complaining that the Courier Press doesn't give any coverage to a team that is in last place and 0-4 under their new coach and 2-8 in their last 10, but they did have 9,300 out for Star Wars night. Now, I will let you reply here in a moment, but now I understand if you wanted the Courier Press to do like a story in like the living side or the social part of the paper and talk about Star Wars, then yeah, I can understand that they should have done that. But unfortunately, the Courier Press covers sports. And just because you have 9,300 people because of Star Wars at a sporting event, that has nothing to do with sports.
So you're saying because the Icemen are losing, they do not warrant coverage.
I'm saying, thank God we are not getting coverage. I mean, what kind of lunatics would spend time following a team that is tied with an expansion team in that, well, I guess there's us.
Everyone who's listening to this show, for starters.
Yeah, but exactly. There is no reason for the Courier Press, big whopping deal. You had a big crowd. They're not even there for the Icemen. We see it every year. Star Wars night, guaranteed. 9,000 people in the building. Hey. Guaranteed.
Hey. There were like 2,200 people there on Monday. That proves there's a lot of hockey fans here.
Oh, there. Yeah, hey. That's more impressive to me than 9,300 on Saturday night when Star Wars is in town. This Star Wars night is it's a great night. It's a great event. I'm glad the Icemen do it. The Courier Press doesn't have to. What would you write about that game to warrant a quarter page in the Courier Press? They play the Aaron Miller line on Facebook. This team's looking really good, even though they lost, compared to the crappy team that lost all the time earlier in the season.
They may get a point in their next game.
Yeah.
Things are looking up.
You're going on the line saying things are looking up. So that's two sentences.
I'm not saying that they are looking up. I'm saying that's how you could spin it.
You would have written that with your name on it in the Courier Press.
Heck no.
Okay. So you're bound to one sentence.
No. I would have recapped the game.
They lost for the fourth time in a row, eighth time in the past 10.
Doesn't matter.
And they're in last place.
In news, your job is to report the facts.
Well,
whether they're good or bad. Let me ask you this. All the years, now they've been better the last couple of years, but all the years that UE was down, they still got consistent coverage even when they were finishing well below 500.
Totally different situation. I'm going to explain it to you and Chad Burley and the one other person that complained, that you led on your merry trot down Burn Courier Press Lane. This is a non-traditional market. Do you understand those words? Non-traditional. Hockey is
correct.
A non-traditional market here in Evansville, Indiana. That means your sports page is going to be filled with traditional things. That is traditional for Evansville and the tri-state area.
Especially basketball. The old people who read the newspaper.
Well, there's not a lot of new traditions, right? It kind of has to be old to be tradition by definition.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
It's not like, hey, we drink a Coke every time we come down here. Let's make that a new tradition and write about it.
That's a fine tradition.
It is a fine tradition.
Coke is delicious.
But it's only been going on since Jesse Fuller and Wired started supplying Coke for 6 months. It's not news breaking. Basketball is a tradition in this state. U of E basketball. You see those jerseys they got up in the rafters?
Mm-hmm.
I know nothing about basketball. Well, I shouldn't say that. I know enough to do
this.
Oakland City Ball. I know enough about.
Shut
up. I hate you. I know enough about it to do Oakland City basketball on the radio. But I know who Jerry Sloan is. You know, that is tradition. That is star power. You know what else is a tradition in this city? Prep sports.
All of it.
So
that's something I have never understood.
It's a tradition of Evansville.
Yep.
It's not for you. It's not for me.
Yeah.
I'm from Detroit. This is Evansville. So you've got tradition, basketball, tradition, University of Aces basketball, tradition, prep sports,
mm-hmm.
tradition, football, tradition, Indianapolis Colts, tradition, baseball. So the Icemen, in as being a non-traditional team, have to find space in this newspaper because of that. Mm-hmm. And I think the funny thing, too, is everyone knows that newspapers are struggling budget-wise, money-wise, because of the internet. So, but if it's struggling so bad because the internet is killing it, why can't a team fans just do everything on the internet? Like we do.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Why do we care if it's in the Courier? Is what you're saying?
That's part of what I'm saying, because we all are on the internet and we're all getting all the information. So why do we need the Courier Press to, I don't know, to make it real for us?
I think that.
So, but anyways, congratulations.
I think
the week.
I think the newspaper coverage or lack thereof is similar to the complaints that SportsCenter doesn't cover the NHL.
Yeah.
It's like it helps. In the eyes of some, whether it should or not, it helps legitimize the product. And I think people think, well, the NHL is a second-class citizen because SportsCenter doesn't cover it. And the same thing here locally. Well, if the TV stations and the Courier don't cover it, then that means somehow we're a peg below everything else.
We're inferior fans.
But the sad thing is, and like you said, we kind of are.
Yeah.
Regardless of how many fans we... Even if we have the highest attendance of anything in the city, we are still a peg below everything else because of the tradition.
And it's not exactly. It's not an inferior thing. It's a tradition thing. It's just about tradition. And unfortunately, the only tradition that we have is a lot of losing seasons. We start building a tradition of
winning
victory, of playoff bursts, then I think you'll start to see more and more coverage because of that tradition. But we don't have that. Right now we have a tradition of firing coaches and broadcasters.
That success. Yeah, no kidding. That success is coming, though, I'll tell you, because you know why?
Why?
Our goal, win.
Ooh. Yeah. Those are kind of creepy.
By the way,
drive around town.
I mentioned this is a ball on, Saturday when Dreger was struggling to control his rebounds and there was one where it was right in front of him and he couldn't find it. I turned to Amanda and said, maybe he forgot what it looks like. We need to have Derek go up to him and say, this is a puck.
See, you say that, Brian Vall is going to hear it and then it's going to end up on the Jumbotron. Just that little segment. This is a puck. This is a puck.
Perfect.
Worst day of my life doing that freaking TV show. God, I hated that. Mad speculation by the mad scientist, Dr. Dirty D.
All right. Last week, we learned that Danny Hobbs had a knee injury, and it was diagnosed as viento borrascoso.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
I don't even know.
The treatment involved a hemodialysis machine.
Only available in Binghamton.
Yeah, apparently. That's why he got called out. There you go. Now, as mentioned in the transaction and injury report this week, the Icemen had only 5 defensemen on Martin Luther King Day because Daniel Johnston did not play. No word from the team about what is wrong with him. So, what is it? Have his tubercles turned gelatinous again? That was what he suffered earlier this season. Or is it a new ailment?
It is indeed a new ailment. Though I hadn't even begun to speculate whether these two, if one would affect the other or not. What was it?
gelatinous tubercles.
Oh, no, definitely not. He is suffering from proprioception.
I beg your pardon?
Proprioception.
I feel like I say that every week. I beg your pardon.
Balance correction. That is your innate ability to correct yourself physically. Like a cat when you... Like my stupid cat that craps all over my house, so I pick it up and chuck it out the door, and no matter how hard I throw it and how hard it bounces off the neighbor's house, it still lands on its feet. That is proprioception. I'm just thinking about how much trouble I'm going to get in for that.
We found out last week.
Was just a joke.
We found out last week that you hate dogs, and this week you hate cats, too.
I really hate my cat. I didn't do that to my cat, but if I would have happened to do that to my cat, it would land on its feet.
That's very true.
And that is because of proprioception, balance correction.
So how does it get fixed?
It gets fixed with... I'm looking over my medical notes.
Your medical journal?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
y'all should see the smoke coming out of his ears.
Yeah, and my laptop. it is actually going to require surgery.
Oh.
Yes.
That's not good.
Yep.
You just have to pull that one out of your rear, didn't you?
No. His proprioception gland will have to be operated on.
Gotcha.
So there we go. Hockey 101.
So in this segment, we have talked before about off-ice officials, but in doing so, we only briefly mentioned goal judges. Now, there was a controversy involving a goal judge on Monday against Cincinnati. Early in the game, Jordan Sims had an apparent goal waved off because the referee had blown the play dead. But fans behind
horrible
the net.
Horrible moment. Horrible moment.
Fans behind the net said the puck did go in. The goal judge did turn the goal light on, so fans naturally thought it had to be a goal. But that is not the case. To clarify about the role of the goal judge, what the goal judge does is sit behind the net and turn the light on anytime the puck crosses the line. Period. That's all the goal judge is supposed to do. The referee determines the validity of a goal. So the light going on does not mean it is a good goal. If the referee has blown the play dead, it doesn't matter. The goal judge is to turn the light on when the puck crosses the line. If the referee is thinking about blowing the play dead, you still turn that light on, and the referee makes the final call. So we've seen it in the NHL a lot with the intent to blow, quote-unquote, and people can go look at the replay and say, well, the puck was in the net before the whistle blew. That doesn't even matter. If the referee was in the process of blowing the play dead because he lost sight of the puck, then that's it. And that's not reviewable. People were saying, well, why didn't he go talk to the goal judge? It wasn't that the referee did not think the puck went in the net. That was not the issue. The issue was he blew the play dead. And it doesn't matter if the puck went in the net at that point.
Yep, exactly. And we did have a situation last year where the referee needed help from the goal judge and got on the headset and talked to the goal judge. And I was working with Stephen Halber to run the crew. He ran the crew, but I make sure that they got their credentials and all that kind of stuff. And we told the goal judges, we trained them that with the referee asked, you just give the facts. Mm-hmm. No, I think, or I thought I saw, or anything. You just give the facts of what you saw, and then he makes the final determination.
Correct. And something else we see occasionally, not just here, but in general, is goal judges sometimes want to be fast.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is not to be fast. It's to be correct.
Yes.
You don't want an itchy trigger finger, because if you flip that light on, then by rule, the referee has to find out why you flipped the light on, and it has to be announced to the arena that there was no goal. And by having that itchy trigger finger and trying to be fast, you are slowing the game down.
Yep.
So we see that every now and then. The light will come on when the puck clearly does not go into the net because the goal judge is just ready with the trigger, ready to flip the switch. But you have to, it's better to wait an extra tick and make sure you've got it right than to try to turn the light on the instant the puck crosses the line, because then you end up turning it on when you're not supposed to and more problems come and fans get confused. Cause again, the light turns on and people think, well, that must mean it's a goal, even if the puck never crossed the line. So we see that every now and then. So
and
if you're an aspiring goal judge out there.
Yeah.
Settle down.
another rule that goes along with the one that you brought up is the fact that the referee has to blow the play dead when he loses sight of the puck. So you'll see, you know, the referee can only be on one side of the net. So you got that mad scramble on the other side. The goalie flops down on the ice. The referee can't find the puck anymore. Doesn't matter if it's on the attacker's stick. He's lost sight of the puck. Mm-hmm. He has to blow the whistle. And you see that a lot too, where goalie goes down or the trapper goes down, the referee blows the whistle dead, and then the puck gets shot right into the net, and everyone goes crazy.
Or it squirts out to the opposite corner, then everybody's like, it's alive!
And I've been there. I've high school games, squirt games. I've reffed them. I've blown it dead just to watch that puck trickle right out, and it is tough, because the flip side of that is, even though it is a penalty to hit a goaltender with your stick, like it's a slash, whether the whistle has blown or not, but if you don't blow that whistle, you are telling the players that puck is still loose. And so you can't just come in and just start whacking goalie pads and whacking goalie hands, but you can start digging because the referee hasn't blown the whistle, so it's loose. So it's a tough job for that referee on the other side of the net to say, you know, because all that digging and stuff, if the goalie does have it covered, well, now you got the D-men cross-checking the forwards, you got fight start, and that's when you start the term that we use a lot is losing control of the game.
Yeah. You get a fracas, and then it just degenerates from there. The worst thing that I remember of blowing the play dead too soon, when I was in high school, I was reffing a squirt travel game in Indy, and it was an empty net toward the end of the game. And a team was about to score into the empty net, and there was no one around it. It was just the puck had been dumped in, and it was going in. And I got itchy trigger with my whistle, and I blew the play dead before the puck had gone into the net. And I could, by rule, I could not allow the goal. And I felt terrible about it. Thankfully, it didn't end up making a difference, but it took a goal away from a kid that should have had an empty net goal. So, yeah, itchy triggers.
Yep. Brian Patafi, tweet of the week.
B. Patafi, B-P-A-T-A-F-I-E, quote, "My wife woke up this morning with a huge smile on her face. Man, I love Sharpies."
Wow, that is fantastic.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a beauty.
Yeah.
Hoses Hockey.
This Friday the 23rd, the Evansville Hoses Hockey team, which is comprised of local firefighters, we'll take on the St. Louis Fire at Swander at 7 o'clock. I'll be spinning the tune. Steven Rickard and his taters will be announcing. The Icicles will be there. Blizzard will be there. The on-ice officials will be Patrick Duff, Lindsay Call Me Mabry, and Chad Beefcake Burley.
What a crew.
And former Real Man of Genius himself, Chris Lamone, will be in net for the Hoses. I don't believe he'll be wearing a kilt. I really hope he's not, in case he has to go spread eagle to make a save.
Nope. He won't be doing that either.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. If he did, he wouldn't get up. Tickets will be $10 at the door. Doors will open at 6. Like I said, puck drops at 7. And as we mentioned last week, proceeds will benefit EYHA to help buy equipment for kids who want to play hockey but cannot afford it. So it's an awesome cause. It's going to be a great time on Friday night. And if you're not doing anything, come out to Swander, have a good time, support EYHA. It's grassroots hockey, building the sport in this town and creating more hockey fans for the future so that maybe in 20 years, we'll have tradition and we'll be getting coverage in the Courier and Press if newspapers are still a thing then.
There you go. We'll just bring them back just for the Icemen. Upcoming games.
ECHL All-Star Game is tonight, the 21st, in Orlando. As mentioned earlier, Miles Bell is the lone representative for the Icemen. Friday, the Icemen go to Cincinnati again. We take on the Cyclones. That's the game that was moved to January 23rd from February 27th. And it will be, this is why I chose Jimmy Buffett earlier, Parrothead Night in Cincinnati.
Ooh.
The first 1,500 fans will get a Cyclones beach towel, and they are going to be wearing Jimmy Buffett-style jerseys that will be auctioned off after the game.
That sounds
horrible, right?
Horrendously horrible.
Saturday, the 24th, the Icemen are at Indy, and we have a bunch of fans going up making the trip. Discount tickets to sit with
the... We might have sole possession of last place after
maybe,
this.
Maybe, yeah. Discount group tickets are available through the Iceman Maniacs Booster Club at IcemanManiacs.com. Go there for all the info. You save a few bucks and sit with your fellow maniacs and support the team on the road as we fight for not last. And then the fight for not last continues on Sunday when Indy comes here. This is the game that was moved from 5 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. to make room for a UE women's basketball game.
Tradition.
And it is a Subway family night. You can get a ticket, a t-shirt, popcorn, and soda starting at $19 a person. Call the Iceman office for information. And the All-Star game is the annual jersey switcheroo date. So the Icemen will be wearing dark jerseys, I presume black, but you never know. They may wear the blue third ones on Sunday for the first time this season at home.
Real tough schedule just with the travel. All-Star break will be nice, but on the road to Cincy, drive through the night, on the road to Indy, drive back through the night, and then have to take on Indy. And they'll be tired too, but boy, it's a tough bus schedule a lot from here on out.
Yeah.
So... going to be tough. It's definitely an uphill climb for this hockey club. And Wheeling is the fourth place team. I believe that we are 9 points behind. Mm-hmm. But what the scary thing is Kalamazoo is playing really good hockey, and they have 4 games in hand on both us and Wheeling. And they're only, and we're 7 points behind them. So fourth place is potentially 13 points ahead of us.
Yeah.
So it's a
tough road to hoe.
You've got to start clicking right now.
Yep.
The Dangling Tangent.
So I'm in the restroom at Eastland Mall, and there's a gentleman in the next stall over who is apparently giving birth to an alien or something.
Who works for number two?
There's just all kinds of sounds I've never heard coming out of a human being next door. Sounds like cheap sound effects from a sci-fi movie.
So or the intro to our second segment.
Yeah. So all this happens and I hear nothing. And then there's like silence for a few seconds and then he belches. And after he belches, he says, "Excuse me." And I'm thinking, really? All these sounds you just made and then a small innocent belch is what you pardon yourself for? So,
well, it wasn't if he was at the table. If he was at the dinner table, he probably would have belched and not said anything. But if he farted, he would have said, "Excuse me."
True.
So it's all about where you are.
Yeah.
Location, location, location.
Yeah. So this brings me to the topic for this dangling tangent. Nice. Do you have any gross or otherwise odd public restroom stories that can be told on the radio?
Probably the oddest one that I've been involved with was our boss. I used to do landscaping back in Michigan for the weirdest man I have ever known. This guy was crazy, absolutely crazy, and just left. I worked with him every summer over when I got home from college, and just it was just craziness. But he would always take us around Christmas time to a Red Wings game, and he got seats in the Olympia Room, which is below Joe Louis Arena. It's a real nice restaurant and everything else, buffet and the whole thing. So we went down there, had dinner and everything else, got to watch the game, and then went back to the Olympia Room just to hang out, watch the late-night game on the TVs, and have a couple of adult beverages. And we had work that day, so we were up at working by 6, worked till 6 p.m., took a shower, then down to downtown Detroit by 7 for dinner and everything else. So I was tired, so I thought, I'm just going to go splash some water on my face. And so I walk into the restroom and splash some water on my face and dry off my face, and I look around. I'm like,
reapply your mascara.
Where are all the urinals at? And just at that moment, a lady walks out of the bathroom, and I bust out laughing, and I think, that crazy chick's in the guy's bathroom. That's funny. And she was in
wrong-o.
She was in the correct bathroom. I was in the wrong bathroom. Security got called.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, I was tired. I just wasn't even paying attention. I'm so sorry. And we're with a bunch of landscapers and alcohol and hockey. So a little bit of a brouhaha, and we got kicked out.
Oh.
The end.
See, that's the difference between men and women, though. If a woman walks into the men's room by accident, everyone just laughs it off.
Yep.
She's embarrassed. The guys are like, ha, 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 and that's the end of it. If a man walks into the women's restroom, he's a pervert and security gets called. Yep.
Indeed. There was a comedian named Richard Jenny back in the 90s was his big claim to fame, and he had this whole shtick where he talked about a woman accidentally comes into the guy's bathroom, and all the guys like, hey, it's good to have you here, and you got the marching band, and oh no, stay, come on, hang out with us and everything else. And and then a guy accidentally walks into a woman's bathroom and it's just M16s and bazookas and just everything's getting locked and loaded.
Yep.
And it's just two different worlds.
Yeah.
And they got couches and everything. Oh, another funny bathroom story. I went to Paducah to see the Newsboys. I took Ivy with me right before Christmas.
What is that, the Carson Center down there?
Yep. Oh, gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And no mommy with us, so we're kind of managing situations. And she's a big girl. She's 7. And I said, you know, go into the bathroom. And she's like, you're going to wait right here, right? And I said, yeah. And she went into the ladies' bathroom, and she came back out. She's like, Dad, you got to see this. Come on. You got to see. It's awesome in here. You got to see this. I'm like, I can't. She's like, no, it's okay. Just come up to the door and peek in. And I'm like, no, I can't.
You really
can't do that. I'm like, Dad, you got, come on. It's okay. You got to see this. Because they had like a couch and a mirror, like a whole, like, place where you could apply
it,
your
makeup. It wasn't just
and
a restroom. Yes. It was a lounge.
Yes. It was the ladies' lounge. So she was super excited about it. So there you go. My two potty stores.
Good stuff.
Is that it?
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Final
thoughts.
We're
probably way over time at this point.
Oh, we're good.
So a couple final thoughts. First off, last week I heard you talking to Bill Nadeau. You were searching for a silver bowl of some sort to use as the ETHL
yes.
trophy.
Yep.
I have an idea for you.
Yeah.
Scrap the silver bowl. What you should do is go to Play It Again or something, buy an old used athletic cup.
Uh-huh. We've done that.
Mount it onto wood and call it the athletic cup.
See, we actually have a trophy. We want to put a cup on top of the existing trophy to make it look more like the Stanley Cup. So we just need like a big dish.
Bowl. Right. Yeah. I'm just saying you don't need that. You don't need that fancy. You just need a big jock.
The problem with the jocks is a lot of them have holes in it, and then when you drink beer out of it, when you're celebrating, it gets on your hand. We've been there. I'm telling you. We've done all of
this. So what you're saying is you have drunk alcoholic beverages out of a jock.
Yeah.
Who hasn't?
Tradition. Gotcha. Talking about tradition.
Gotcha. Okay. One other thing. Man. There's no segue from this to what else I was going to say. Congratulations to Anita Ice on completing
yes.
the chemotherapy.
Yes. Very saw it on Facebook. Congratulations.
We go from drinking yes. beer out of an athletic cup to chemotherapy.
We'll actually drink. We'll get some beer with her and
right.
drink out of a cup. Yep. Heck yeah.
There you go.
Celebration. He is Michael Shockley. He is the senior writer, the webmaster for IcemanManiacs.com. He comes on the Amusement Park Radio every week here on 96.9 FM, WYIR. And this is the segment known as Iceman Insights. And we'll be back next week.
Next week, the 28th. We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.